existed in the days of the Amoraim. Some of the slichas you have in the Mishnayos and Maseches Tainis. The slichas that we say at the end, Anein Hashem, Anein Mishan Avraham, Avinu Avraham, the easy ones, that's from the days of the Tanaim. The difficult Hebrew that was composed, the Piyutim, that was composed in the days of the Rishonim. But the easy ones are the oldest ones. The Achronim have a machlokes regarding citing Yud Gimel Nidus, whether that has the status of a Dovish Bigdusha, and you need a minion on that. So they say, so the generally accepted opinion is that reciting Yud Gimel Nidus is a Dovish Bigdusha, and the Achronim say, therefore, there are three nafkaminas ledin. Number one, you need a minion. So those who are traveling home, Teretz Yisrael, by plane, so they can say Slichas Bichidus, but they can't say the Yud Gimel Nidus Bichidus. Number two, you need Amida, Dovish Bigdusha, we assume you need Amida. That's based on the Yerushalmi, that you have to have Amida, Shavidab, Shavidusha. Number three, the Achronim say that you need Atifa, that you're supposed to put the talus over the head, or you're supposed to put a hat on instead of just wearing a yarmulke. That Dovish Bigdusha needs Atifa. Tonight's Slichas, tomorrow morning Slichas, has the Pilut that many are opposed to Malachi Rahim, Malachi Rahim, Meshursa Elyon Chananah Pnei Kel. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes from the Vilna Gaon that he thought that it's not proper to recite these piyutim. To ask the Malachim to intervene on our behalf is not proper. That's a Mishnah Megillah, Mishnah Brachas, later the same Mishnah Brachas and Megillah. Mishnah says, Ha'imei Baruchu Chatovim Shaskim Osa. One who says that the good people should bless you, so you scream at him, you tell him you shouldn't say that. So what did he mean by Baruchu Chatovim? So the Meiri has six different interpretations. Rashi has more than one interpretation. One shot is only tzaddikim should daven. Rishoyim beinonim don't have a right. Rishoyim don't have a right to daven. Okay, that's one pshat. So Mishaskim also, everybody has a right to daven. Another pshat is only a person who ate kidei sviya should bench. Yivarchucha goes on blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reciting Birchas HaMazon. If a person didn't eat kidei sviya, shouldn't bench. So that's not acceptable. We scream at him because although in HaTorah you're only mechuyev to bench if you ate kidei sviya, but the Rabbanan you're mechuyev to bench if you had a kazayis or kibetza. And then there are a whole bunch of other interpretations. And the Miri has one of the interpretations in the Mishnah. One who says the angel should give you, should bless you. So that's why on Friday night, Chaim Volozhiner was opposed to reciting Baruch Hu L'Shalom. You don't ask the angels for any blessings. You don't ask them to give a blessing to anybody else. So this also, the same thing, there's a piyut that's late, I think it's on Erev Rosh Hashanah, or on Saras Mei Tshuva. The author of the piyut was Amitai, so the different starts of Hashem, Hashem, Kal Rachman Chanun, and then it starts off the four stanzas that it has, starts off Aleph Mem Tav Yud. So it starts off Eskalim Ve'amoya Be'rasi Kalir Altilo Benuya Ve'ir Halakim Chareva Yerushalayim Mischarb. That's how it starts off the Aleph. And then the Mem of Amitai, Aleph Mem Tav Yud. The Mem is Midas HaRachma Malenu His Galgali, that we ask the Midas HaRachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Midas HaRachma should convince the Rebbe Shlomo should give us a break. So that's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner held, that it's not right to say that. So in the yeshiva they leave out that stanza. Rav Soloveitcher used to have them say the stanza differently. Instead of Midas HaRachma Alein His Galgali, you say Galgel Alein and Midas Rachamecho. But then you kill the acrostic, so it's no longer Aleph Mem Tav Yud. Okay, so it's not. So in yeshiva they just don't say it. In the Tshuva Sadech Sam Sefer also, he says that Machnisa Harachmim shouldn't be recited, but he says in Shul they do say, but he said that's at the end of the Slicha. So at the end, everybody's in a rush, and you never get to finish everything anyway. So he says he always skips that, and nobody notices that he's skipping that, because he never has a chance to say everything anyway, so you got to skip something. Regarding the slichas, so the Ramo says the minig is that every day you say Hashem the Bagadno three times, except for Erev Yom Kippur, you only say the Vidui once. And the Vilna Gaon thinks that it's not right, that you should every day you should only say once Hashem the Bagadno. There's no need to say three times every day. So remember when I was a little boy, the set of Tenor Samusa came out. Rav Dov Katz about all the different Bali Musa and the whole movement. So my father liked the Sefer very much. He told me I should read it. So I remember, one thing I remember from the Sefer is that Rav Sol Salanter picked up a lot of his Hanhoges, Musa Dik Hanhoges from Rav Zundel Salanter, who I think was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, or a learned of Volozhin, something like that. So he, Rav Zundel, used to follow all the time the Shitas Hagro. He learned the Volozhin, so he follows all the Shitas Hagro. When he came to Slicha, so he said, Sham Nevagadna three times. So they asked him, how come everything else, when he davens, he follows the Nusach Hagro? How come over here he doesn't? So he says he's afraid he's going to show that he's such a big knacker, he's such a learned person, that he's going to follow the Shitas Hagro. In heaven, they're going to hold him to a higher standard. And he said, they may not forgive him for his averis. So he said, I'd rather be a plain balabas. When it comes to reciting of the Slichas, he'll say the way everybody else does. And there Rosh Hashanah says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is that you don't blow shofar, and the Bi'ur HaGro'a always gives you the Ma'ar Mekayim, and so he writes Pesachim Daf Kuf. In other words, there are two reasons that the Mefarshim give. One is Kedei La'arbev es HaSatan. We're not sure exactly what that means. How do you succeed in confusing the Satan by not blowing shofar on there Rosh Hashanah? We're not sure. And the other explanation, that's what the Vilna Gaon likes, Pesachim Daf Kuf, is that's the beginning of Perek Avri Pesachim. So it says there in the Gemara that if a person was eating on Erev Shabbos and it becomes dark, Shabbos enters, so Peres Mapa Mekadosh, you should cover over all the food, stop eating, and then make Kiddush, and then continue to eat. So the Rashbam says, why Peres Mapa Mekadosh? Kedei Lahavdad Ben Achilu Shel Rishus L'Achilu Shel Mitzvah. Whatever you eat on Shabbos is a mitzvah. Karas of the Shabbos Oneg, that's the Pesach in Yeshaya, then Avi Yeshaya says, and what you eat on Friday is Achilu Shel Rishus. So you want to have a heker, a havdalah between Achilu Shel Rishus and Achilu Shel Mitzvah. So that's the other reason that the Mefarshim give. The Vilna Gaon held it. That was the Iker reason. They'll have the Ben Tkir Shel Mitzvah, the Tkir Shel Rishus. The Tkirs on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Tkirs on Chodesh Elul are just a minig as opposed to the Tkirs on Rosh Hashanah. That's a real din. So you want to have a heker that it's not the same. But up until now it was only a minig, and tomorrow is going to be the real din, so we have one day that we don't blow shofar. This year, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday and Friday. The original Rosh Hashanah, B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, means that that was the sixth day of creation. That was the day the Adam HaRishon was created. That was on a Friday. The sixth day, Yom HaShishi, was on a Friday. By us, according to our calendar, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. So the Mekubalim say, because we live in an imperfect world, and that's why Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. You don't have to prove, just look in a newspaper, you don't have to prove that we live in an imperfect world. You can give a million and one rice to that. Anyway, that's what the Mekubalim say. That's why Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday, because we live in an imperfect world. So if you have 2 days Yontif, and then you have even Eretzol, you have 3 days over here, 2 days Yontif, and then Shabbos, and you want to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, you have to make an Erev Tavshilim. So whoever knows how to make an Erev Tavshilim is supposed to make. If he just put away pas, so that is not enough to allow you to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. You have to have pas and Tavshil. Parshat Shadding Moros, all you need is Tavshil, you don't need a pas at all. But Tosfos has the discussion, all the Dinim of Erev Tavshilim, beginning of the second Perek and Beitzah. So Tosfos says, we follow that opinion in the Tanaim, that if you want to bake bread, cake or cookies on Yom Tov for Shabbos, then you need pas. And if you only plan to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, then it's enough with tavshil. Most people don't bake cake or cookies or challahs on Yom Tov for Shabbos, so they really don't need the pas. But the minig always was that you put away a matzah and a hard-boiled egg. So the matzah was clearly not baked l'kovet Shabbos. The matzah was baked whenever. So the Mishnah Brura points out from the Gemara that this is b'di'evet. L'chatchili, she really had pas v'tavshil that were either cooked and baked specifically for the Erev Tavshilin purpose, or at least, he's not sure whether that's what it means, or at least it was cooked for the purpose of Shabbos. The matzahs were not cooked for the purpose. We're not baked for the purpose of Shabbos. But it doesn't really matter so much because most people do not bake challahs or cookies on Yom Tov for Shabbos. I remember there used to be a fellow in the neighborhood who always used to bake his challahs on Yom Tov, that everybody should have fresh challahs. Okay, so if he's baking on Friday for Shabbos, he needs an Erev Tavshilim with the pas and the Tavshilim. But most people don't bake. So you have to have the pas. You have to have the tafshil in order to be allowed to cook. The Chayyad, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayyad has a whole discussion that from the Gemara one might get the impression that you have to use a tafshil that's not usually eaten in the middle of the week. So hard-boiled eggs, a lot of people eat an egg sandwich every day. So that was a question. The practice was you take a matzah and a hard-boiled egg. So that's a question. Is a hard-boiled egg acceptable because you eat it every day? So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Rambam says that you use an egg, a hard-boiled egg. So how can you say that it's no good? Maybe the days of the Rambam, maybe they didn't eat eggs every day. Maybe by us we eat eggs every day. So that's a question. I usually take, I ask my wife, what did she cook for Shabbos? So she get filter fish. So I take the whole tray of filter fish. There's a minimum, but there's no maximum. Minimum is has to have at least a kazayas. There's no maximum. You can have a whole tray full of gefilte fish. Use the whole thing. And then when it comes Friday, you want to cook for Shabbos. If you ate up all the gefilte fish, which we probably didn't, the gefilte fish is special for Shabbos. We don't eat it in the weekdays. So if you have a kazayas left, so it's good. You have to have pas v'tavshil. The Magen Avraham quotes,
doesn't
need to be malafe,
the gefilte fish
would
be eat it with bread, or that
if
people don't eat it with bread,
then
you shouldn't use that.
Today, we hardly eat anything with bread. It means we eat it in the middle of a meal. We eat it in the middle of a meal. A lapis by a sapas doesn't necessarily mean you make a sandwich with the gefilte fish. It means would you eat it in the middle of a meal. That's what we understand, a lapis by a sapas. Yeah. So we do eat gefilte fish in the middle of a meal to fill us up. The Magen Avraham quotes that the Gemara explains in Psochim that the whole institution of Erev Tavshil is only made. The Rabbanim and HaTorah, there's no need for Erev Tavshil. And HaTorah, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos even without the Erev Tavshil. So why is it permissible? Where's the Oichal Nefesh? Oichal Nefesh means you're cooking for Yom Tov. So what is that? Machlek is Rabbi Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda is of the opinion, Tzoch HaShabbos Nasim Yom Tov. Just like you're permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, permitted to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. Rashi learns that the reason for Rav Chisda that Tzoche Shabbos Nasa Yom Tov because Shabbos and Yom Tov are Kedusha Achas. The Mohammed there in Psochem understands that literally Kedusha Achas is a Machloike Satanoim and Mishnayis and Erevin and the Sugi in the first parak in Beit. So when you have Shabbos next to Yom Tov, you assume that it's Kedusha Achas and Shtei Kedushas. And the Gemara says Halacha L'maisa, we paskan that is Shtei Kedushas. Shabbos next to Yom Tov is Shtei Kedushas, not Kedusha Achas. So the Ramban says the way Rashi interpreted that Erev Tavshil the Heter to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos on the level of the Raisa is based on Kedusha Achas, so for sure we don't pass like Rav Chisda. Other Rishonim say that not like Rashi, it's not based on Kedusha Achas. But the way Rashi interpreted Rav Chisda, that so for Shabbos not Smiyan, goes Kedusha Achas, so it's a dead giveaway that we're not going to pass like Rav Chisda. So Rabbi gives the other explanation. Rabbi says that Oichal Nefesh sets itself up automatically. There's no need for Kavanas Agavri. Even though the person is cooking Yom Tov for tomorrow, let's say the woman has off, woman works all week long and she's having a bar mitzvah for her son, or she's having a Shabbat Brachas for her daughter or something, and Yom Tov she has off, she's cooking and baking on Yom Tov to put it in the freezer to save it for a Shabbat Brachas in another 2 months. So that's absolutely, you're not allowed to do that. So Rabbi holds Min HaTorah, it's mutter. Anything you cook or eat, anything you cook or bake on Yom Tov, and theoretically it could have been eaten on Yom Tov, if you live in a tiny little village and there are hardly any Jews living there, and on Yom Tov it's impossible, they wouldn't eat up all that food. You cooked a ton of food, so then it's not Oichal Nefesh. But if you live in a big city, you could have invited everybody from the shul to come to eat by you on Yom Tov, and then all the food that you cooked on Yom Tov would have been eaten up on Yom Tov. So even though that's clearly not what you had in mind, you had in mind to put all this away in the freezer and save it for 2 months from now when you're having this the Shevet Brochus. So I say it sets itself up automatically as Oichal Nefesh. All the imikli le'orchim, chazilei, guests would come. They would eat up all the food. Hashtanami chazilei, it's called Oichal Nefesh. Oichal Nefesh sets itself up automatically. You don't need kavanas agavra. So the Magen Avraham says, since many Rishonim paskin like Rabba, it's a question how we paskin like Rabba, like Rav Chisda. So he says, since many Rishonim passed like Rabba, so there's an issue. So he says, when the women bench licht on the second day Yom Tov, let's say Thursday and Friday, when benchlicht on Fridays. If they're just going to benchlicht half an hour before the shkia, then they're going to put up a chalon, so that they're doing the bishul on Yom Tov, but they're putting up the food on the fire on Yom Tov, and it's not going to be Rai Lachila if it's a slow fire. It's not going to be Rai Lachila on Yom Tov, it's only going to be Rai Lachila on Shabbos. So if you hold that the heter of, on the level of the Raisa, the heter to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos is based on Hoil, so you have to make sure that the Balabasta puts up the chont an hour before, so it should be edible, the family should be able to eat it on Yom Tov. So the Magen Avraham lived in Poland in the city Kalish. He writes that the meaning in his city is that whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, you accept Shabbos early. They would daven Shabbos early. At Plaga Mincha. So it's an hour and a quarter before the Shkia. So the women are going to have to bench licht way before. So they're going to have to put up the chum before. So it'll be edible. So it'll be edible for already for Yom Tov. For the second day Yom Tov. There was such a practice that whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, so everyone in the Kehillah should be Mekabel Shabbos early that week to make sure that the women shouldn't put up any food late in the afternoon on Yom Tov. On Leil,
is there also mitzvah to Sefer Shabbos from Yom Tov to Shabbos? Do Mekabel Shabbos early on a three Yom Tov?
The Gemara says there is, yeah. If there is a din of Tosefes Shabbos, the Rambam's opinion is only a mitzvah of Tosefes on Yom Kippur. He holds that there's no Tosefes Shabbos, no Tosefes Yom Tov. But if you hold that there is, like Gemara says, there's Tosefes even from the other way. There isn't. If today is Shabbos and tomorrow is Yom Tov, so what do you mean Masif Mechol Al HaKodesh? Today is holier than tomorrow. So, but if tomorrow Shabbos, today's Yom Tov, tomorrow Shabbos, then there is a Chashivas. The Masif and Mechol Al HaKodesh shall abstain from Melochus after you Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. On Leil Shabbos, on Leil Yom Tov, we daven a different nusach of the Shemana Esrei. Instead of saying 13 brachas in the middle, you only have the one bracha in the middle, the Kadesh Yisrael, the Yom HaZikaron, like Mekadesh Yisrael, the Hazmanim. Tanoim learn out from Sukkim that you have to say Malchus, Chernes, and Shofar, so that's a big machlekes. When does that apply? So the Balamor writes that it applies to Ma'ariv and to Shachris and to Musaf and to Mincha, all at Tfilus, and Rosh Hashanah, you have to have nine brachas, Malchus, Chernes, and Shofar. We don't follow, the Marsha points out that Rashi and Avodah Zarah says like that, in the first parak on Avodah Zarah. Rashi seems to hold like the Balamor also. That is not the common practice at all. Our practice is that we only say seven brachas like a regular Yom Tov, and we reserve the Malchus Chenes Shofar from Musaf. Why? Whenever you plan to blow Shofar, so the Mishnah says that you're supposed to blow Shofar after in the Chazaras Hashatz, after Malchus, after Zechrenes, and after Shofar. That's a big question, whether that's a Din D'Oraisa, a Din D'Rabbana, Tekiyah, Salseda, HaBrachas. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that you have to blow Tekiyah, Truah, Tekiyah three times on Rosh Hashanah. So because we have a Machlokes HaTanoim, a Sofek, the Gemara quotes different Tanoim and different prices. What is the definition of a Truah? Is it what we call a Truah? Is what we call a Shvarim? Or what we call a Shvarim Truah? So we do three times Tashrat and three times Tashat and three times Tarat. So Rashi writes quite a few times in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Why three times Tekiyah, Truah, Tekiyah? Once for Malchus, once for Zechrenes, once for Shofar. So you get the impression from the Rashi that he understood that these drushes are dinim d'oraisa. Malchus, Zechrenes, Shofar are real din d'oraisa. And that's why you have to blow three times Tekiyah, Truah, Tekiyah, because you have to blow Shofar at the conclusion of each one of the three brachas on Malchus, Zechrenes, and Shofar. The Ramban HaChumash disagrees with the Rashi. Rashi and Chumash also sounds like he understood that Malchus and Shofar is a real din d'oraisa. The Ramban Tainis, it's against the Beferishi Gemara. The Gemara says if there are two different villages, in my village we don't have a Baltakeya, we don't have a Shofar, and we don't have a Machzer. So they're not going to daven Malchus and Shofar, nobody knows it by heart, and they're not going to blow Shofar. So I have an option. I can't travel to the big city. Can't travel to Vilna. So I have a choice, either to go to one village or the other. One village they have a shofar, but they don't have a machzor. One village they have a machzor, they don't have a shofar. So which one should you go to? So the Gemara says you go to the village, but they have a shofar. So the Gemara says, that's so pashut. What do you need a brisa for? That's elementary. Malchus Manu Shabbos is only the Rabban, and the Kiyo Shofar is the Raisa. So of course you go to the village where you're going to have the Shofar. The Gemara says, La Nitzucha, the Chiddush is, one village has a Machzer, and they don't have a Shofar. One village does not have a Machzer, and they may or may not have a Shofar. I have no telephone to call them up. They may or may not have a Shofar. So I may go to that village, I'll be Kerech Mekami, Kerech Mekami, I won't have anything. I won't have a Machzer, I won't have a Shofar. So the Gemara says, that's the Pshat in the Braisa. It's preferable to go to the village that has the Sofik Shofar, Sofik Daraisa, rather than go to the village that has the Vadai Machzer, because Malchus Chan Shofar is only the Rabbanon, and the Kiyo Shofar is Daraisa. The Ramban says there, it's a B'Favish Gemara, that the Malchus Chan Shofar is only the Rabbanon. So Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of saying, oh, but there's a Sefer, Kapas Tamarim, so by one of the Sfardish Gedolim from the 1500s, I think. So it has three parts. So Maseches Roshan is called Yom Trua. Maseches Yuma is called Tosefes Yom Kippur, because he wrote Taisvus. He wrote his own Taisvus on Maseches Yuma. And on Maseches Sukkah is called Kapas Tamarim. But everybody calls Sefer Kapas Tamarim. So in the Chelek on Roshan, the Sefer Yom Trua, he comes to defend the Rashi. So he says, Rashi holds that Malchus when the Shofar is the Raisa, when it comes in conjunction with Shofar. if you don't, in one village you only have a Machzer and you don't have a Shofar, then Rashi agrees that Malchus when the Shofar is only the Rabban. When you do have a Shofar, and you're going to blow Shofar, and you're going to blow Shofar, I'll say to HaBrochus. But Tzibur, the Gemara says, this din that you blow Shofar after Malchus when the Shofar is, only applies but Tzibur, not B'yochid. Even though the Yochid is a Baltakeya and he has a Machzer and he knows how to blow, we don't recommend. The din doesn't apply B'yochid, only B'tzibur. B'tzibur is a Machloikis. What does it mean B'tzibur? Does it only apply in Chazaras Hashatz or even Tefillah B'lachash? Let's say you have Tefillah B'lachash, but you have 10 people davening together. So that, the meaning by the Sfardim, it's not a question of the meaning. The Sfardim follow that opinion that Tosfos quotes the Orach like that, that you blow Tekiyas and the in the Tefillah B'lachash, and you blow in the Chazaras Hashatz also. And the meaning by most places is that you don't blow in the Tefillah B'lachash, you only blow in the Chazaras Hashatz. So the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, the last paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, says that they blow Tekiyah Shofar in Musaf. Why don't they blow Tekiyah Shofar in Shachris? The Gemara says, Riz Magdim LeMitzvahs, why don't you blow in Shachris? So the Gemara says, well, the shul is half empty in Shachris, and Musaf, everybody's there. That was the meaning of the Zman HaTanoim. The people came pretty late to shul, or they died very early, whatever the story is. So so the Gemara says, still, even though on the one hand there's a Maila of Beravam Hadras Melech, maybe we should blow Shofar from Musa because the shul is going to be more crowded. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, the Maila of Zviz Magdim and the Mitzvahs to blow in Shachris outweighs the Maila of Beroi Vam Haris Melech. So the Gemara says they should really blow Shofar and Shachris. Why are they blowing Shofar and Musaf? Gemara says, B'shach Zeres Malchus Shaninu. Mikra Din, they always used to blow in Shachris because Viz Magdim takes precedence over Beroi Vam Haris Melech. And there was a Zeres Malchus, so they were afraid to blow in Shachris, and that's why they blew in Musaf. So how does it apply to the United States of America? There's no Zeres Malchus now. So Tosha says, we're afraid they may make it again, Xeris HaMalchus. That's problematic. Anyway, but you see from that Gemara that when you have a toss-up, you have a conflict between Ziz Magnimim and Berei Vam Haris Melech, that Ziz Magnimim takes precedence. That's what the Stechemen has pages and pages. Stechemen is an encyclopedia that was written early 1900s by Svardi, who was born in Eretzol, had a Rabbonah somewhere in Russia. So he has a lot about this, that it's not really proper, the practice, that the common practice. When you make a pidyon haben, wait till late in the afternoon, because you're going to have the pidyon haben in the morning. You know that a lot of people are not going to show up. You know you're going to have a bigger crowd if you have it later in the afternoon. So he says it doesn't matter. The Gemara says, really, that's Zviz Magdim LeMitzvahs, to do the mitzvah earlier takes precedence over Beroi Vam Haris Melech. So it's really problematic, that practice that is so widespread that everybody does the pinyan aden late in the afternoon. You should really do it the first thing in the morning. Anyway, so what's the whole discussion? According to the practice that we have, we only say Malchus Lenin Shofers and Musaf. We don't say in Shachris. If you hold like the Rashi in the Balamor that you say in Mayrav in the Shachris and in Musaf and in Minche, you say all the nine brachas, Malchus Lenin Shofers, you can have a pilpul. Which man Esrei should you blow Shofers? Shachris, Chazaras, Hashatz, and Musaf. But if you only say Malchus Lenin Shofers and Musaf, so how is there a possibility of discussing having Tkir Shofers and Shachris? So Mestama the Pshat is that the Amidah, that what we would call the Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, really should consist of seven brachas. First three, the last three, and the Kedushas Hayam in the middle. That tefillah, where you plan to blow shofar, so there you say, Malchus Lenin Shofar. So, Bizman HaTanoim, when originally the practice was that they blew shofar on Chazoras HaShatz of Shachris, because these Magdim HaMitzvahs took precedence over Rav Am Haras Melos. So they said, Malchus Lenin Shofar and Shachris are not in Musaf. Then because of the Shas Gzeres Malchus Shaninu, then they moved it, so they moved the Tkir Shofar to Musaf, so they moved the Malchus Lenin Shofar to Musaf. That Amidah, where you plan to blow Shofar, that's the one that you say, the Malchus Lenin Shofar. So the Gemara learns that, the Gemara Brachas later, we didn't get to it, you'll soon be there. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Rav Chaim Volozhin points out in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim that the Gemara says, Anshei Knesset HaGedola consisted of a body of 120 Talmidei Chachamim, Ubehem Kama Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim, several prophets. So he says, you have to have a Koach HaNevuah to be able to compose a tefillah that was composed at the beginning of Bayis Sheni period that shall last over 2,000 years. We still say the same Nusach HaTefillah. Now, so they had to have Nevim. And then the Gemara learns that from Psukim and Novi and Ksuvim, Nevim and Ksuvim, that not only do you need a Koach HaNevuah to compose a tefillah, you have to have a source in Tanakh that you have a right to make a Shemoneh Esrei, an Amidah, with 18 parts. Oh, then they changed it, 19 parts. They added the Olam HaShinim, 19 parts. Then on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have a Shemoneh Esrei that has 7 parts, the first three, the last three, in the middle of Broch and Kedushas Hayom. Then on the Tanis Sibud, the Chazam would add another 6 brachas and the Chazaras HaShatz. 6 and 18 was 24, so they had to have a Mokar and Tanakh, that you have a right to compose a tefillah that has 24 parts. Then, where's the Mokar for the Rosh Hashanah Dika Davini? So the Mokar is Tefillas Chana. We say that in the Piyutim and Rosh Hashanah, Tefillas Chana, she mentions Shem Hashem 9 times. So the Gemara learns that from there. That's the source in Tanakh. You have a right to compose a tefillah with 9 units. But really, the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, according to the Balamor, all the tefillahs on Rosh Hashanah, she really should have had 10 brachas. The first three, the last three. Middle bracha about Kedushas Hayoim, the Kaddish Disol, the Amazikar, and then you should have Malchus Lenin Shofar. You should have first three, the last three, Malchus Lenin Shofar, another three. 3, 3, and 3 is 9. Then the 10th one should be the Kedushas Hayoim. So the Gemara said, but they had no Mokum in Tanakh that you have a right to make a tefillah with 10 units. So all the Tanaim are working with the premise you have to quetch together 2 of the brachas. You have to combine 2 themes together so that you'll only have 9 brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So which 2 brachas should you combine together? So the Mishnais have, there's a 3-way Machloikas HaTanaim. So we paskan like Rabbi Akiva that we combine together Malchias with Kedushas Hayayim. Just like on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say the Gimel Rishon is then the next bracha after the Gimel Rishon is Kedushas Hayayim. So that's the next bracha on Rosh Hashanah is Kedushas Hayayim. And one of the major themes of Kedushas Hayayim and Rosh Hashanah is Malchias, Kabbalah on Malchus Shamayim. Hashem created the world, so after He created Adam Rishon, Azay Melech Shemoni Kro, Ein Melech Belo Yom. If there are no human beings, he's not called a melech. So after he created Adam Rishon, then he became a melech. So Rosh Hashanah is the day on which we emphasize the theme of Malchias. So Rabbi Akiva combines together the Kedushas Hayayim with the Malchias. That's why you say the Chasima is Mekadosh Melech al Kol Haaretz. Mekadosh Zalvi Yamazikor. Melech al Kol Haaretz is the Chasima for Malchias. Then Mekadosh Zalvi Yamazikor is the Chasima for the Kedushas Hayayim. So that's how we pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is of the opinion that you should combine Malchias with Ata Kodesh Vashim Chakodesh, because he ended off HaMelech HaKodesh. He changed the Nusach HaBrach HaNetzer HaSeh Tshuva So you should include Malchus over there. And the fourth bracha of the Shemone Esrei on Rosh Hashanah and Musaf should be plain Kedushas Hayom. Should be plain Kedushas Hayom. You shouldn't have the 10 psukim of Malchus. 10 psukim of Malchus should be in the bracha of Tekadosh Shemcha Kadosh, is going to be much longer than by us. And the Yerushalmi says that in Galil the practice was like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. And the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the practice was like Rabbi Akiva. And that's how we assume the din is like Rabbi Akiva. Then the Gemara quotes a third Tana, I think Rabbi Gamliel, or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I forgot already who. I think it's Rabbi Gamliel who says no, that you always say Kedushas Hayayim Be'emtza. On a normal Shabbos in Yom Tov, you have Gimel Rishon, Gimel Achron. And then the middle brocha is Kedushas Hayayim. On Rosh Hashanah, you have Malchus, Chana Shofar. So the brocha Emtzois is Zechreinus. So you should have Kedushas Hayayim combined with the Zechreinus. Strange, but that was his opinion. So the Yerushalmi says that in Galil the practice was like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. The rest of Eretz Yisrael not. The Rambam never really paskins. The Rambam in the Nusach HaTfilah quotes that you do like Rabbi Akiva. You combine together the Kedushas Hayayim with the Malchias, but in the Halachas he never writes it. So that's where Rav Soloveitcher used to say B'Shem Rav Chaim, that this is the minig is like Rabbi Akiva. If someone will daven like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, he'll say Malchias together without the Kodesh or Shimcha Kodesh, the stomach of the Eved, he will be Yotze. Because there never was a real psak on this. You do any one of the three shitas is okay. And the reason why you have to kretch together, combine together two different brachas, because you have to have a source in Tanakh that you have a right to compose such a tefillah that has so many parts to it. So we don't have a source for a tefillah that has 10 parts. You only have a source for a tefillah that has 9 parts. So that's why we combine together. The Balamor writes that you should really say all in Rashi and Avodah Zarah in the first place. You should really say all the 9 brachas by Meiriv and by Shacharis and by Musaf and by Mincha. But he says when he was growing up in southern France and in Provence, they didn't have any machzorim. Nobody said Malchus Chana Shofar. They knew how to improvise. They knew how to say Atav Chatanim Kam Titan Lan Shamu Kana Say Mazikar and Hazeh Yom Trua Yalav Yava Yom Mazikar and Hazeh, and then you end off like a regular Shabbos and a regular Yom Tov. You say Kedusha Sayam in the middle. So they didn't need the Machzorim for that. That they could improvise. They could figure that one out. So he says the old Tzibur davened only 7 brachas, and the Chazan either had a machzor or the Chazan memorized all the psukim. The Chazan said the Malchus Chana Shofar. And even though the din is that the brachas hamak v'zuazu, brachas hamak v'zuazu, so if you don't know Malchus, you can't say Zechonis and Shofar. If you don't know Shofar, you can't say Malchus and Zechonis. But if you don't say any Malchus Chana Shofar, you don't say anything, you just say 7 brachas. Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, and the bracham tzoy says Kedushas Hayayim. So that's a nusach hatfilah for a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's what the Balamor says. When he was growing up, that was the practice. All the people daven the Shemana Esrei and Amidah of 7 brochas, and the Chazan would say the Chazoros Hashabbos. He would be moitzi everybody. Everybody was in Eina Boki. Nobody knew how to say davening like that. That's an interesting practice that the Balamor writes. Rav Soloveitcher used to quote his uncle, Rav... I think his name is Rav Menachem Krakowski. He was married the daughter of, I think he married the daughter of Abelia Feinstein, if I'm not mistaken. He wrote a sefer on the Rambam. What's it called? I forgot the name of the sefer. Okay. So he has a suggestion that if a chen tein pachta, if a chen tein kovid, that we add on in the middle of Atta Kodesh was the introduction to Malchus in the Galil, when they followed Rabbi Yechim and Nuri. That's where that piyut came from. That was the Hakdama to the Malchias. The Pashtus is, whether it is or it isn't, the Pashtus is that it's only a piyut, the V'chein Tein Pachtucha. The Gemara doesn't say you have to say it. So let's say if a person, Davin Shemana Esrei, by mistake left out of V'chein Tein Pachtucha, you would be Yotze B'di'edin. So he explained that where did it come from? That was the introduction to Malchias, according to the practice of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, that you insert the Malchias in Atta Kodesh Rishimcha Kodesh. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so you don't blow Shofar on Shabbos. So the Gemara starts off presenting it, Gemara quotes one of the Amoraim from Eretz Tzor of Levi, which appears in the Yerushalmi as well, who learns it out from a pasuk. He seems to hold that it's a real din d'oraisa, that you don't blow shofar, because one pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as Yom Teruah, one pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah as a Zichron Teruah. So which is it? Is it a Yom Teruah, is it a Zichron Teruah? Gemara says if Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, then you actually blow shofar. Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Shabbos, you talk about kiyas, you mention Zichron Teruah, you speak about kiyas, but you don't actually blow shofar. Then the Gemara rejects, the Babli rejects, the Yerushalmi remains like that, and that's Masechah Sofrim has like that. Masechah Sofrim was composed in the days of the Gaone by the Gaone Eretz Yisrael. That's why we don't always follow Masechah Sofrim, because we follow, whenever there's a conflict between the Babli and the Yerushalmi, we follow the Babli, we don't follow the Yerushalmi. So the Magen Avraham writes like that in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Masechah Sofrim was not from the Tanoim, not from the Amoraim, it was composed by the Gaone Eretz Yisrael. So the maskana of the Babli is that the fact that you don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah when it falls out on Shabbos is a gzeira de rabba. It's not that rabba is the one who made the gzeira, rabba is the one who explained what the gzeira is all about. You're afraid, Shem Yavaren Dal and Amis B'shus Arab behind the time of the shofar, behind the time of the Megillah, the same reason why you don't shake a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, the same reason why you don't read the Megillah when Purim falls out on Shabbos. But Minatari you do blow shofar. So what do you do with the contradiction between the two psukim? How come sometimes it's described as Yom Teruah, sometimes Zichron Teruah? So the Gemara never explains it. So Rashi and Chumash seems to have understood that Zichron Teruah, Rashi is quoting the Gemara, Zichron Teruah means you have to say Zichronus in conjunction with Tkiyah Shofar. That Kiyos al Seder Brochas is a real din deraisa. Ramban is masik, Ramban al Atar and Parshas Amor is masik and Rashi. Malchus on the Shofar, the Gemara said, Beferish is only with the Rabban. So Rashi holds, no, that Gemara says it's only with Rabban. If they don't have a Shofar in the city, they're only going to say Malchus on the Shofar. Without a Shofar, then it's only the Rabban. But if you have a Shofar, it's going to be Kiyos al Seder Brochas, and Rashi holds that it's a real din deraisa. So one should be makbid. The Chazanish starts off like this, then he backs down. Rav Soloveitchik taught the way the Chazanish started off. He didn't go for the backing down. But you only yotzei tkiyas al seder brachas if you listen to the Chazaras Hashatz from the beginning to the end. You got to pay attention. The guy's going to walk out in the middle. So if you walk out in the middle of piyutim, so the world, we can live without the piyutim. But if you walk out and you're missing part of the Malchus Ron Shofaris, then you're not yotzei the tkiyas al seder brachas. So you got to listen from the beginning to the end. So some people daven very slowly, and they finish the tefillah belachash when the chazan is up to kedusha. So they miss the whole beginning of the chazaras hashatz. So the chazanish starts off like that. You have to listen to the whole chazaras hashatz, all the 9 brachas from the chazan from the beginning to the end. Otherwise, you're not yotzi tekiyas al seder brachas. Then he backs out and he says, well, maybe even if you heard Malchus Chayin Shofar, maybe you didn't hear the first three. The guy was still davening Tefillah Belachash. But he heard all the Malchus Chayin Shofar. Maybe that's also Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. So the Beit Shik thought that it was not correct. He didn't think that it was right. Anyway, so on Leil Yontif, our practice is we don't say 9 brachas like the Baal HaMoreh recommends. We just say 7 brachas in the Shemana Esrei. And the Gemara says you got to change the Nusach HaMelech HaKadosh instead of HaKel HaKadosh, and we assume that that's Me'akeh B'di Yevet.
If someone's in the middle of the field of Lachash, can they pause and be able to push my
gun? I think the Poskim say if he's in the middle of Malchias, he should pause. But if he's in the middle of Ritzei, so that's the wrong place. That's a Hepsik. You should really be like in those communities where they blow tkiyas in the middle of Tefillah Belachash. So we preferably, everyone should be at the end of Malchias. And if not, so if you're in the middle of Malchias, that relates. But if you're in the middle of Mechal Kachayim Bechesed, and the Chazan's ready finishing Malchias, and the Baal Tekiyah is blowing Shofar, so the tkiyas don't belong over there. So that'll be a hepsik. That'll be hepsik to be out of the tkiyas in the middle of Ritzei, in the middle of Sim Shalom or something. It's the wrong bracha.
If the chazan starts singing part of the chazan chants, part of in the brachas that a person needs to hear to be out of, the tzibur sings so long so you can't hear it,
Can you say the words together with the Chazan Tbiyot, Mikzas Shmiya, Mikzas Amira, Mikzas Shabbos?
Pashtus is that not. That's what we discussed. That Shemei Kohen and the Hefer Bracha works on a bracha that a Yochid says, but a bracha that the Tzibur has to have, bracha l'chabura, that you're supposed to have the Chazan should say everything. So sometimes the people sing along lines that are not miyakev in the davening, but sometimes they're singing along lines that are crucial. So that's not right. You should really listen to the whole Chazoras HaShatz from the Chazan. Yeah. So we assume that if a person by mistake said Hakel HaKadosh instead of HaMelech HaKadosh, it's not Yotze D'Shmon Esrei. The Chayodam lived in Vilna, and he quotes one of the Dayanim of Vilna, Rababala Pasvela. Pasvela was like Borough Park. It was a suburb of Vilna. So they had their own Dayan there. Somebody collected Chacham Sodom every so often quotes Psokim from Rababala Pasvela. Someone collected them, all of them put together, and they called the Sefer Nascha de Rababala. A chunk of Psokim from Rababala. So Rababala Pasvela has this Chiddush. He was a Dayan in Pasvela in Vilna. That just like if you forget Yalav Yovel, Leil Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to daven over because Hei Mekatshon and Chodesh Balayla, that's a Gemara later in Rosh Hashanah. In Brocha, so the same is true regarding Akel HaKodesh. If you said Akel HaKodesh by mistake, so you don't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. The Rabbeinu Yonah quotes such an idea, not exactly. So many poskim don't agree with Rababala. Chayodim quotes and he leaves it like that. Rav Soloveitchik used to give every year a shir on his father's yahrzeit, on Gimel Shvat. Every year he picked a different topic. So one year the whole theme of the shir was to explain why he doesn't agree with Rababala Pasvela. He thought that even Balayla, if he made a mistake and said, Akel HaKadosh instead of Amel HaKadosh, you have to daven over again. Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks we should follow Rababala Pasvela, but for a different reason. So the reason why he changed the nusach to Amel HaKadosh, because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So the Melech sits in judgment. Kel Melech Hesha Lekisei Adin. So the Baruch Shalom is sitting in judgment. But the Mishpat is only by Yom. By Laila there is no Mishpat. So Lechatchili you should have said HaMelech HaKadosh. But since B'riyebet, if the fellow said HaKel HaKadosh, the Moshe thinks that maybe B'riyebet is Yotze because the Din only begins in the daytime. Yeah, that's what there's a big machlokes from the gaze of the Goinim. Is there a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? So we assume that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem has a discussion. Do you say Shehechiyanu at Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, you don't say Kiddush. But the question is, do you say Shehechiyanu? Yeah. The Gemara says, Shehechiyanu, I'm Rafila Bashuk. Shehechiyanu on Yom Tov, you can say even when you're walking in the street. That doesn't really have to be recited in connection with the Kiddush, but if you'll recite the Shehechiyanu alakos, you will enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha. It'll become a Bracha alakos. So that's our practice. So we save the Shehechiyanu till the end of the Kiddush. And Yom Kippur, there is no kos. So we say Shehechiyanu, we have to call Nidre. We say Shehechiyanu, Bashuk. We say it not in conjunction with anything alayyan. So Gemara has a suffix whether you say Shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So what's the Shad? They didn't remember from last year. Nobody remembered whether he said Shehechiyanu last year. The Gemara says, no. Shehechiyanu has a rishus that for sure you can say. Because when you have a pri chadosh, a beged chadosh, the reciting of Shehechiyanu is rishus. So the fact that if you have a pri chadosh, you have a pri chadosh, so what is the Shehechiyanu all about? You're so excited about the spinach. He's allergic to spinach. He can't stand spinach. So what is he saying Shehechiyanu for? And the Gemara says, Mikra din, you say Shehechiyanu when you see it in the store. You don't have to be eating it at all. Our meaning is we can only say the Shehechiyanu when you're about to eat it. But Medina the Gemara, when you see it in the street, in the stores, you say Shehechiyanu. So what's the Shehechiyanu all about? So then it's Siv explains it. Shehechiyanu an hagoas hazman. Shehechiyanu v'gimanu hazman hazeh. I realized that I survived another year. Oh, it's watermelon season. They're selling cherries. They only sell cherries in the middle of the summer. They only sell watermelons in the middle of the summer. So I realized I'm a year older. And I survived the whole year. So I'm all excited about Hagoas Hazman. So that's Shehechiyanu on Hagoas Hazman. That's a Rishus. That's not a Chayva. Shehechiyanu on Shalosh Regalim is a Chayva. So Gemara has a Sofek. We all remember that last year we said Shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But the Gemara is Mesupik. Is it a Chayva? Like Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, or is it Rishus? What's the issue? Whether it should be Rishus or a Chayva? So some of the Rishanim interpret that the Sofek was whether there's a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. a Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. We know it says V'samachta b'chagecha by Sukkos in Parshas Re'eh, and there's a hekesh all the shalosh regal mahukshu adodi. So we know there's a chiyuv simcha not only on Sukkos, even on Pesach and Shavuot. But the Shabbos brought about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's really machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah and Moed Katan. Rav Soloveitchik would always point it out. There's a machlok. There's a din when a person, Rachmana Litlan, person is in the middle of Shiva, in the middle of Shloshim. So comes the Yontav, so Yontav cancels the Shiva. If the person already finished in the middle of Shloshim, so Yontav cancels the Shloshim. Shabbos does not cancel Shiva. So Tosafot explains why, because Yontav there's a Chiyuv Simcha, and Simcha and Avelus is a Tarta Disaster. Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha, so that's why Shabbos is not a Tarta Disaster. We don't observe Avelus before Hesi on Shabbos, because it's a Yom Brocha, by Rocha Lekem as Yom Hashvi. It's a Yom Brocha, and the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Birchas Hashem hi tashir, v'lo Yosef etzev ima. Whenever there's Birchas Hashem, so there's no Atzva. So one doesn't observe Avelus before Hesia on Shabbos. But Dvarim Shebitzina on Noeg on Shabbos. And the Rambam's opinion is Dvarim Shebitzina on Noeg on Shabbos, but not on Yontav. Yontav, you don't observe any Avelus at all, even Dvarim Shebitzina. We don't follow that Rambam. We follow the Tosfos. You need a whole elaboration on that. But basically, there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Shabbos, only on Yom Tov. So that's why Shabbos doesn't cancel. So what about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Do they cancel Avelus? So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnayos. And Perek Ela Megalchen. Halacha L'maaseh we paskan Lahokel. That Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur do cancel Avelus. So that's a question. Do we paskan they cancel Avelus? Because we hold that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a Chiyuv Simcha. Or maybe because Halacha d'Ramekel ba'ovel, whenever there's machlekes in Hilchos Avelus, you always go the cooler, because we learn out from a pasuk that Sofik Avelus Lahokel, whether it's a Sofik in Mitzias. I'm not sure if I'm related to this man who died, because my mother remarried I'm a son of the first husband, but I'm not the son of this woman. And the woman was married to the first husband, and then she remarries within 3 months, and she has a baby. We don't know whether the baby, father of the baby, is the first husband or the second husband. So the Mishnah has a din that you're not allowed to remarry within 3 months, in order that you should know whether the baby is in the first husband or the second husband. If the woman did remarry within the 3 months, and you don't know, so now you can tell by DNA and blood type and so on. But in days of the Mishnayos, they had no way of knowing who's the, sometimes he looks exactly like the first husband or the second husband. So of course you know who the father is, but if you can't tell, so then the shaila is about Avelus. So the din is Sofik Avelus, Lakula. Whenever there's any Sofik, even if Avelus would be a din deraisa. This is an Erevin quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoinim. The Ramban, the Torah Sa'odam, quotes the Tosfos in Erevin that we have on the Daf, who quotes the Tshuvas HaGoinim, that even if one were to assume that Avelus Yom Rishon is deraisa, still say Sofik Avelus Lahakam. It's not based on Sofik the Rabban Lakulam. Even if Avelus would be deraisa, still say Sofik Avelus Lakulam. So that's the Shaila. We paskin that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiva, cancel Shloshim. Is that Betorah Sofik? Because Halachi Dera Mekal Ba'ovel? Or is it Betorah Svada that there is a Chi of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So some of the Rishonim interpret that was the Gemara's Diyun. In Erevin Daf Mem Amid Beis, is the Rechiv Simcha and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then you Mechiv Medina to say Shachyanu. Shachyanu is the bracha that's linked up with the Rechiv Simcha. But if there's no Rechiv Simcha, so then Shachyanu is only Rishus like on a Pri Chodesh. So we paskin that there is a Rechiv, that you are Mechiv to say, we assume that it's a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there is a Rechiv Simcha. So when we say Kiddush on Leil Rosh Hashanah, we say Shachyanu. The second night, Rosh Hashanah, that's a big discussion in the Rosh and the Rishonim. So you say Shachyanu. And the second night of every other Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, the Gemara says in Beitza in the first parak, every Yontav Sheni Shel Golias is Betorah Sfeika de Yoimai. We act as if we were Mesupik, which day is really Yontav. So maybe yesterday was Erev Yontav. Maybe the Kiddush that we said yesterday was Brachal Batola. We've got to say everything today. But the second day, Rosh Hashanah, is not a Sfeika de Yoimai. We count Yom Kippur from the first day, Rosh Hashanah, not from the second day. The first day is the real Rosh Hashanah, and the second day is a Kedusha Achas. Yom Arichta, Rashi calls it. The Gemara calls it Kedusha Achas. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. Does it make sense to say Shachyanu on the second day, Rosh Hashanah? So we paskin that you do say Shachianu, even the second of Rosh Hashanah. But the Maharam Rutenberg introduced Amidas Chasidus, that you should always have a pre-chodesh or a beged chodesh. The Baal Tekeh who's going to blow shofar on the second day, or the one that says Kiddush the second night of Rosh Hashanah should have either pre-chodesh or a beged chodesh. So the Shachianu shouldn't be a bracha levatol. Should be for sure that it's in place. The Mishkan Asankev writes in the Tshuva that this was a theme that was introduced into Pesach Halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz, the later Bali HaTosfos, the Maharam Rutenberg, is the end of the period of the Bali HaTosfos, that you try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. You know, just paskan la halacha the way your tradition has it, you should be choshesh for the other shittas as well. So in the Shulchan Aruch, in quite a few different places, they quote such a type of Amidas Chasidus from the Maharam Rutenberg, to try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. Then the Mishnah Berurah took it and multiplied it by 1,000. And every other page it tells you how you should do things l'chumra to satisfy all the different opinions.
Is it a different type of Shachianu though? Like the one for the pre, it covers it anyway, even though qualitatively one of them is for the
This is a different Shachianu. And if the Shachianu doesn't go on Yontav, it goes on the Beged Chodesh, then it'll be a hefsek in between the Kiddush and the drinking of the wine. So maybe we didn't really satisfy all the opinions by saying having a Beged Chodesh. We should really not say Shachianu, and then after we sip the wine, then we should say Shachianu. So the answer is, we really paskin that you do say Shachianu, period. But Chashash Brocha Levatola, so they say, throw in a Beged Chodesh, it won't be a Brocha Levatola. It may be that it's a hepsik, but that's not a Brocha Levatola, it's a different, lesser problem, that you are mafsik in between the Borei Piagof and the drinking of the wine. Anyway, so our practice is that we have a pre-chodesh and a beged chodesh. They quote in the stories that Mrs. Vilna Gaon told her husband that she bought the pre-chodesh for the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So she showed her husband what it was. So he said, right away, Shachianu, on the first day. He said, Medina de Gemara. He said, Shachianu when you see it. And then it came the second night. He says, we pass, can you do say Shachianu? You don't need the beged chodesh and the pre-chodesh.
Do you have
to
have the fruit before washing, or you can just
have
it?
You can eat it later. Yeah, you don't have to have it.
Some people try to have it right away. There's
concern with it. Yeah, make it right then. You say Shachianu even when you see it in the street when they're selling it in the store. Yeah, so we have the minhag that we wait till we're about to eat it. If you eat it after Hamotzi, same thing. I don't think it makes such a big difference. Whatever your wife wants. Especially just got married. So for sure, whatever she wants. This is the din of Lois and Nachshu. You're not allowed to be superstitious, and not allowed to think that because this happened, that's why that's going to happen, unless it makes sense. But if it doesn't make sense, Svi Hivsiko Baderech, so he's not going to continue on the highway. Why not? Just because Svi Hivsiko Baderech, or Pita Noflam Ipiv, that's a Nichush. But the Gemara says, even though you're not allowed to do anything that's superstitious, but to do Simonim, that you're allowed to do. So let's say a Kala wears a white gown and you have white tablecloths at a wedding. Why do you have white? Symbol of purity. Nice. Even by the guy that do it. It's not done. It doesn't mean that because they're going to have a white gown and white tablecloths that their marriage is going to be happier and they're going to have more purity. A symbol of purity. So the same on Leil Rosh Hashanah. You have simonim. You have different fruits and vegetables, the name of which the names of the fruits and the vegetables imply that you're going to have a good year. And you offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you offer a prayer together with the with the pre-chodosh, with the peiros that you eat. Yeah. So so in the days of the Goyim, there was a big machloikas. Is there a chayv simcha on Rosh Hashanah? If there is a chayv simcha, so maybe there should be a chayv to have a suda. Isn't necessarily totally zebizet. We spoke the other day, not necessarily, because on Chol HaMoed there is a chayv simcha. That's why there's no avelus on Chol HaMoed. There is a chayv simcha, and there's no chayv suda. There's an isatainis. But there's no chiv suda. And if you ate bread and you forgot the alav yavah, you don't have to bench over again. The reason why you have to repeat the benching on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you forgot the alav yavah, is to be kaveh the suda the same Suda Shabbos or the same Suda Siyantav Chalamoy. There is no Chiyav Suda. Just the Nisa has to be with Tainis. So that's why if you forgot Yalviyova and they're benching on Chalamoy, you don't have to repeat the Bich Samos. So it's not really Toli Zeh B'Zeh. That's the first Truba in Rabbi Geveger. He assumes that the Chiyav Suda flows from the Chiyav Simcha. See, he himself slugs it up. He shows himself it's wrong from Chalamoy. But he's working with that assumption. So he says, by the women, I'm a chuyiv in simcha, is a machlekes. We spoke about it the other day. Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid had a paskin. It's machlekes in the Gemara, where the women are, simcha is a mitzvah saseh shaz mangrama. That basically women should be put. But there's so many exceptions to the rule. Kiddush is one exception to the rule. Matzah, hakel is another exception. There are a whole bunch of exceptions to the rule. So that's a shadow. What about simcha? So it says by simcha, it's matahato. Bincha Bitecho, it says Bitecho, it says Amon Hashem B'Sharecho. So some Tanaim and Amorai think it's Mefurish and Pesukim that women have a Chiyuv Simcha. The others say no. Isha Baila Mesamcha, the husband, in order for the husband to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Simcha's Yontav, he has to offer meat, Basar V'Yayin to the wife. But it's not that the women are Mechuyiv in Simcha, the husband has a Chiyuv Simcha. So that's a question. We assume in Rosh Hashanah there is a Chiyuv Simcha. That's why we say Shachyonim. Yeah, but doesn't necessarily mean that there's a Chiyuv to have a Suda. And if you forgot Yalav Yovah, you would have to bench over again. And does it necessarily follow that there's an Iser Tainis? Maybe because Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. Maybe you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah. So that was a big machalikas in the days of the Gernis. So we passed on that you're not supposed to fast. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. But because there were opinions in the days of the Gainim that because it's Yom Adin, you're not a fair. So that's why we have two nafkaminas la'alocha. That number one, if a person benches on Rosh Hashanah, forgot to say Yalav Yovah in the benching, so we'd say he wouldn't have to bench over again because maybe the din is like the Gainim. It's like Afik Brachas La'alocha. Maybe the din is like the Gainim that you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Even though we really don't hold like that. And then number two in Afkamina, that usually we don't permit a person to wait to say Kiddush till after Chatzos and Rosh Hashanah. Everybody does that. Everybody. And all the yeshivas, they do that. Not everybody does that. And Broyas, everybody's home by Chatzos and they make Kiddush by Chatzos. They start 2 hours earlier. Okay, start 6 o'clock in the morning. But in all the yeshivas, everybody finishes davening 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever. Say fast till after Chatzos. So is it really necessary to have a drink of water in the morning or to have Kiddush before you hear the Tkiyas? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we make a lanat, that strictly speaking, since the Gaonim are of the opinion that you're permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah, even though we don't follow that opinion, but we rely on that opinion when it gets to this chumrah that you should start eating by Chatzos. If Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos though, so then there are still Gaonim who say you're allowed to fast on Shabbos Shuvah, but that we don't consider that. So that's not. So if Rosh Hashanah Shecholi is b'Shabbos, you really should have a drink of water. If you know that your shul they're going to finish davening at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you should really have some water before Shacharis. But Rosh Hashanah Shecholi is b'chol, so we'll make a lanan. So this all machloik is the goyim, that's somewhere. Rosh Hashanah is the yom adin, that's bayom. Leil Rosh Hashanah, the din doesn't begin yet. So Leil Rosh Hashanah, everybody agrees that there's a chiyuv to have a sudas Rosh Hashanah. So if you forgot the Yalav Yovah and the benching, on Leil Rosh Hashanah, that's what the Poskim say, then you would have to repeat the Birchas HaMozn. If you forgot Yalav Yovah on Rosh Hashanah in the daytime, so then you have this Machlokes, and then the Achronim are Mekel. Because of the Shita Sagarim that you're allowed to fear, so then they're Mekel.
If there's, so according to the people that say that women have no independent mitzvah Simchat Yontif, so is there a Velus?
That's a good question. There certainly is no avelus. We assume the simcha is doicha. We say the whole tzibur has a mitzvah of simcha. Even if you say that women don't have the chiyuv simcha, the whole community has, all the men have a chiyuv simcha. So that's doicha her chiyuv avelus. How does that work? It's a good question. But for sure, the women do not observe avelus on Yom Tov. The Chachamim introduced the Malchus Chana Shabbos, who should recite 10 psukim that have the theme of Malchus and 10 that have the theme of Zechrinus and so on. In Zechrinus and all of the regular machzorim, they have a pasuk Zecher Asalin Nifloys Elchana Verachma Hashem. So the author of the Torah Tmima, Rav Baruch Epstein, wrote an autobiography that's called Mekor Baruch. So he has a taina, but that pasuk doesn't speak about Zechrinus at all. Zecher Asalin Nifloys. Zechrinus means that Rabbanu Shalom remembers everything on the Yom Adin. That pasuk is not talking about the Rabbanu Shalom remembering anything. So he thinks that you really not yotze with that pasuk. We say two pesukim, one after Zecher Asachana. Teraf Nosav Rav Yizkor Le'olam Barisa. So Yizkor Le'olam Barisa, that perik in Tehillim goes al piala base. Zecher Asachana Nefosav Zayin Chana Racham Hashem Eskes. Teraf Nosav Rav Yizkor Le'olam Barisa. Yizkor Le'olam Barisa is Yud. So you say that those psukim because of Yizkor Le'olam Barisa, but the first pasuk Zecher Asachana Nefosav, and then you say V'yoymer, that counts as a pasuk. That's very difficult. So you should really say one of the other psukim. So when they told it to Rav Soloveitchik, so he never liked this Rav Baruch Epstein. So he said, it doesn't make any sense. Right away, it's wrong. Then after thinking about it a while, so he realized it's right. What do you mean it's wrong? He's right. So he recommended that everybody should add on. You should leave Avi Yomer in between Zecher Asaf, Taraf Nasal Rav, because the first one doesn't really count as a pasuk. And then you should add on the pasuk that the Gemara says is acceptable. Schar Hashem Lev Neyadim and Shalom Yerushalayim. That even though it's Puranas, but it's Puranas for the Umas Olam. So the Gemara says you can say that pasuk for Zechrinus. So the Gemara gives that mashal. So you should really add on Zecher Asal and the philosopher is in Tehillim. So you need if that doesn't count, so you need another pasuk from Ksuvim. So Zechar Hashem Levin Adam is also from Tehillim. So you should say that. Then in Shulchan Aruch they quote there's a machlokes Rishonim whether. Does that pasuk count for shofars? When Mechaber writes, there are those who complain that pasuk can't count because it talks about chatzaitzus, doesn't talk about shofars. But the rush was meyashiv the minig, so it's okay. So Rav Soloveitchik recommended, what do you have to rely on a machleka? So he said, you can add on. 10 psukim is the minimum. You can add on more than that pasuk. You need another pasuk in Chumash. So the Gemara says, Uchuas Melech Bo. How does the pasuk begin? Shemelechavim Uchuas Melech Bo. I forgot about it, the pasuk. So the Gemara says that pasuk can count for Shofaris and for Malchus. Uchuas Melech Bo refers to the Ribbono Shel'Olam is the Melech. Some of the Mefarshim HaChumash say Uchuas Melech Bo refers to Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melech. But the Gemara says pasuk Uchuas Melech Bo in Parshas Bolok in the Boaz Bilam. So that pasuk the Gemara says can count for Shofaris because it says Uchuas Melech Bo and it counts for Malchus as well. So Soloveitchik said you can leave in the pasuk b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar. That's in the concluding paragraph in Shofaris. You say that. He said you can add on. Get on the tenth pasuk. The Rasa cause of Leimar. You can add on the 10th pasuk to us, Melaba, the end of the 9th psukim. So you say a 10th pasuk, then you say an 11th pasuk later on. Yeah, there is a machlokes in the Rishonim. When do you have to say the 10th pasuk? Do you have to say the 10th pasuk immediately following the first 9th psukim, or you can say it later as well? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe satisfied the both opinions. So he said in Shofaris, but there's a question whether that counts, that pasuk b'chatzotzos v'kol shofar, are you? No, whether the pasuk runs from achas ma'adech m'skaitem b'chatzotzos. So the Mechaber says the Rosh was miyashiv the minig, so that's a machlokes, whether that counts. So that pasuk we say in the concluding paragraph of Shofaris. Okay, I'm going to say that Kabbashev forgot what he was saying. So Rav Soloveitchik said, you can say this pasuk of Churas Malach Bo after the first 9 psukim. Then he said, by Zechrinus, what pasuk are you going to say? I forgot already. Whatever pasuk you say in the concluding paragraph, so he thought you can satisfy the opinions of the other Rishonim that you should say it at the end of the 9th psukim. The same as Rasul Kazalim, to say the same pasuk twice, say it at the end of the 9th psukim, say it again in the concluding paragraph. Yeah, and the first, in Malchus, everybody agrees that you say the 10th pasuk of Sarasuk Haslemar, you say the 10th pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you say it right after the night. You don't say it in the concluding paragraph. The Mefarshim explained why there's no machloikas. The Gemara talks about the institution of Tkiz the Miyushev and Tkiz the Miyumot. So there's a question in the Rishonim, what is this referring to? So everybody in Pasha Pshat, Tkiz the Miyumot, the Tkiz in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, in the middle of the Amidah. Tkiz the Miyushev is the Tkiz before Musaf. So the Balamor has a different interpretation. He says that Tkiz the Miyushev means the Tkiz in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, but everybody's sitting and there's decorum in the synagogue. Tkiyas the Miyumot is the Tkiyas after the davening is all over when the people are walking out of shul. Everybody is Ma'umot. Everybody is walking out of shul and there's a whole balagan. And the practice that we have to blow shofar before Musaf, Balamor claims that was introduced in the days of the Gaonim, when they added on so many piyutim and the Chazaras HaShatz that the davening is going to take forever. So a lot of people, Cholim Miskenim, won't be able to, Mubarz and Menikah, they won't be able to wait till the end of the davening. They have to take care, they have to feed their babies. They have to take care of their children. So that's when they introduce. When they introduce how many piyutim, so they introduce, they blow all the tkiyas before you even start davening Musaf. That's what the Balamor claims. Then the Balamor says, that Bizman HaGemara, that they didn't blow shofar before Musaf, so they never said Bitzibah, they never said the Bracha, the Shema called shofar. That's what we discussed on the opening Mishnah and Brachas, that the Rabbi Yoni quoted the Rav Amram Gohan, I think, that if a person daven Ma'ariv early before Tzeisa Kachavim, and the Mishnah, the Yishami says you're not Yotze Kriya Shema before Tzeisa Kachavim, so then you have to say the Parshias later. So the Rav Amram Gohan says, then you have to say Brachas, Shekarashan V'Tzatzu V'Tzvanu, Likros HaShema. So Rabbi Yonah says he doesn't understand why only when you daven too early and you say Kriya Shema separately, even if you're davening Bizman, you should also say Bracha al Likros HaShema. So the Netziv explained this whole fantastic pshat. So he quoted this Balamor. Balamor says that when you Bizman HaGemara, that they blew shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, then there never was a Bracha l'shema kol shofar. Whenever you fulfill a mitzvah within the framework of brachas, then you don't have to recite a birchas mitzvah on that mitzvah. Only after the Goyim introduced the practice that you blow tkiyas before Musaf, so then you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of shofar in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, so then they had introduced the birchas mitzvah. True in the days of the Gemara, if a person is b'yichidus, so of course he's going to say the bracha l'shema kol shofar, because he's not going to have the tkiyas in the middle of the Gemara says you only have tkiyas. I'll say that brachas when it's betzibur, when it's beyochad, you don't have. So that's the famous Balamor. Is a meaning that you have the rabbi's makri. He tells the Baltikir, tikiyo, shvarim truwa. So it's a big question. It says in Shulchan Aruch, nobody should talk. From the time the Baltikir says bracha, nobody should talk. And the rabbi is the shegetz. The rabbi is the one who talks. He tells about the Kea, Tikiyo, Shvarim Tuahis. So what's he talking for? So the Mishnah Brura writes, if it's not clear what the Minig HaMakom is, maybe he shouldn't be Makri the first Kiyo. Because everybody knows, because by Duchening, there's a Machloikis, what, when the Chazan calls out, Yivarechecho, and the Kohanim say, Yivarechecho, what is that all about? Why did Chazan say word for word? So there are different sources in the Goinim, Taisus and Saita quotes from the Goinim about this. So some say that the Kohanim shouldn't make a mistake. So if the reason why the Kohanim shouldn't make mistakes, you have to tell them the first word, Yerechecho. They know how to start off. After they say Yerechecho, they may forget where they're holding, so you got to tell them the next word, Hashem, V'yishmerecha. But the first word you don't have to tell them. And the other opinion is, no, because Rochas B'nei Yisrael L'mor Lahem, you should tell them step by step, the Chazan should ask, Say Yivarechecha, say Hashem, say Yishmerecha. So the Mishnah Brura says, even though our practice is that the Chazan and Makri, even the first word Yivarechecha, but if the reason is that you're afraid Shema Yitu, then it shouldn't apply to the first word. So he says, hey, but Kiyas, he would recommend the rabbi shouldn't be Makri the first Tikiyah. What do you mean if it's not clear what the minig is? All over the world, the minig is absolutely clear that of course you do say the first tikiyah. Mishnah Berurah probably means if you can get away with it, if the balabatim won't stone you. So that's what he recommends. The rabbi shouldn't be makri the first. By some chassidim, they were so insistent that having a makri, they would have a makri even in tefillah balachash, when they said the tefillah balachash. And the rabbi would be makri the Baal Tekeh. This Dechemet quotes such a practice. The Pashto says that's mamsha hefsek. You shouldn't be makri in the middle of tefillah balachash. Oh, Svarim don't make any mistakes. They don't need a makri. Yeah. Where does it come from, this whole institution of the makri? Where does it come from? Rav Soloveitchik was fishing around. Where does it come from? So he thought maybe when Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos B'Amikdush HaYitoykin, and then it says in the Mishnah, not only B'Amikdush and Yavne B'chol Mokom She'esham Bezdin, so the Gemara says they had to give a psak that you have a right to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos because you have it's B'Mokom Sanhedrin. So then the Gemara said they had to discuss it and they had to give a psak that you're allowed. So he thought that maybe tikiyah is the psak. Maybe it originated, and maybe the institution of the makri originated when they would blow b'makom bezdin, when Rosh Hashanah was chali as b'shabbos. But it's a very strange practice. Yeah.
If he makes a mistake during the Shemoneh Esrei, the Sanhedrin Shemoneh Esrei, are you allowed to, the rabbi's allowed to, like, tell him to do it again? It's also,
is that
also sort of
Tzorach HaTfilah? Yeah. That's the Tzorach HaTfilah. We discussed the other day that the Ramo quotes from the Ran. The Ran is really Mesupah. Right on the riff is Mesupah can use a shofar from a behemoth tmeir. Does that only apply to Tashmishi Kedusha, like the Ritzuas of the Tefillah, or like the Tachash, which was a Kiso Yar Tachash for the Mishkan that has Kedusha, does even apply to Tashmishi Mitzvah. So that's a Sofik in the Ran. The Ramah doesn't quote the Sofik, he says the Ran says that it's no good. Not exactly true. The Ran said he's Mesupik, and the one who discusses it is the Chuvas Taras Chesed. He has a long Marmikaimis about that topic. Whether Lehuchshel or Malach HaShamayim is restricted only to Tashmishe Kedusha, or even applies to Tashmishe Mitzvah. There's a big discussion in Shulchan Aruch, are you allowed to roll the Sefer Torah on the second day Rosh Hashanah, on Friday before Mincha? The Gabbai should roll the Sefer Torah to the correct place. So you're allowed to roll it on Friday afternoon before Mincha, so it'll be in the right place for Shabbos. That's Achana on Yom Tov Shabbos. So the three way machlek zachrayim. The some achrayim say if you made an erev tavshilin you're allowed to. If you didn't make an erev tavshilin you're not allowed to. Then Rabbi Kivega says if that's the whole story, when you made an erev tavshilin, he thinks that that's not correct because you don't need an erev tavshilin. You don't need an erev tavshilin to do a hachone that's not a malocha. If you want to cook food on Yom Tov Shabbos, that's a malocha. So for that you need an erev tavshilin. But just to roll the Sefer Torah to the right place, Rabbi Kivega has a rai from Mishnayos and Masech HaShabbos. Rabbi Kivega has this in the Tshuvas, and he has it on Or HaChaim, and he has it in his commentary on Mishnayos. He shows as a Mishnah in the end of Shabbos that you don't need an Erev Tavshilin to be allowed to do a Hachana that's not a Malach. But then there's a third opinion, I think the Maharil, that even if you did make an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to roll the Sefer Torah to the right place. Why? Because Erev Tavshilin only helps for Tzorche Suda. Let's say there's no Erev in town and you want to carry, you're going to give a shir on Shabbos and you want to carry a sefer from your home to the shul on Erev Shabbos and you're carrying in the Carmelis. You're carrying in the Rishus HaRamah in the Carmelis. So for that, it says in the Mechaber Paskin, there are those who disagree, Mechaber Paskin, Erev Tavshilin only helps for Tzorche Suda. It doesn't help to do other hachanas that have nothing to do with the meal. So some achrenim write that you're not allowed to roll the Sefer Torah on Friday afternoon, even if you did make an Erev Tavshilin. Not allowed to, because not that Tzorche Suda. Kavega thinks that it's not correct. Because since rolling the Sefer Torah is a hachana that doesn't involve any malacha at all, for that you don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. The Chayyodim quotes, the Chayyodim was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. He lets you know that. So he quotes from the Vilna Gaon that you're not allowed to start a Suda Gedoyla, Samach LeMincha Gedoyla, if you didn't daven Mincha yet. That's you're going to go to a bar mitzvah, to a wedding, it's got a few hours. So even though the Shkia is 8:30 in the middle of the summer, and you're starting, the wedding is starting at 2 o'clock. It's not going to take 6 hours. There's another wedding at 5 o'clock. They're going to chase out the people from the first wedding. They're not going to let you stay there till 8:30. Nonetheless, that's the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to eat, not allowed to begin a Suda G'daylo, Bizman Mincha G'daylo, Samach Mincha G'daylo, if it's going to be a prolonged Suda. So the Chayodin quotes from the Vilna Gaon, the Suda Siyantav is a Suda G'daylo, because usually it takes much longer than a Suda on Shabbos, or on the weekdays. On the weekdays, you gobble down a meal, showing 10 minutes in your bench. And on Yontif, it takes much more elaborate. So that's the chumrah. So that's what they do here in the yeshiva. A lot of yeshivas, they do like that. They daven mincha right after musaf, because it's already zman mincha g'doylo, and you're not supposed to have a suda g'doylo before you daven mincha, and the zman of mincha g'doylo. On Shabbos Hazinu, the Gemara has a special din, the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that you have to divide the aliyahs, keder shachalukim kan, kachalukim mebeis haknesses. The Levim used to sing a shir shal yom in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Gemara says that I think after the Vishas Nisach HaYayin, Ein HaMashira El Al HaYayin. So when the Kohanim were pouring the wine for Nisach HaYayin, the Levim would sing the shir. So I think the Shir Shal Yom every Shabbos was Mizmah Shal Yom HaShabbos. That was after the Tomid Shal Shachar. And after the Musafim, there was a separate Nisach HaYayin. And then they said a separate Shir Shal Yom. So they said the Shir Shal Yom for Musaf was Hazina divided into six parts, into six aliyahs. So the first week they would say the first section of Hazinu. The second week the Levim would say the second section. And after 6 weeks went by, the seventh week, they would go back, Chozer Chalur, they go back to the beginning of Hazinu. So the Gemara, and the Rosh Hatevis to know how each perik, how each section begins is Hazivlach, Hezan Yud Vav, Lamed Chav. So the, and then the Gemara says, Kishem Kederach Shachaluk Mekan, just like in the Beis HaMikdosh, they divided Hazivlach, Kachaluk and the Beis HaKnesses. When you learn Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, Parshas Hazinu, you have to stop in these places. So what exactly does it stand for? So Rashi claims that Haziv, Hezayin, Yudvav, those first four aliyahs, each one has six psukim. Is that correct? No, I think it says the first three, Hezayin, Yud, each one has six psukim, and the next three, each one has eight psukim. It's not exactly accurate. I think one of them is nine psukim. Okay. So the Rashi is a little off. So the first is the Hazina, then Zchoy Masalim, then Yarkiveyu. The Shaila is the next ones. The Lamed Chaf, that's a big machleg, is what they are. So Rashi says it should be 666 and 888, I think 898, something like that. Most of the Chumashim, all the Chumashim are not printed like that. My guess is because Sansino, the first ones who printed the Tanakh, I think, and they were Sephardim. So they put the Svarish Hafsokas into the Chumash. Everybody copied the Sansino. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that there are different opinions how you should do Haziv Loch. And he says, Nara, Nara, Upashte. Every community should follow their tradition. So Ashkenazim should not be following the Svarish tradition. The Svarim should not follow Ashkenazi tradition. Each Eda, each Kehillah should follow their traditions. So remember once on Shabbos Hazinu, they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah here in the neighborhood, Manon Shuls. So they had to take out a new Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah Berurah has a chumrah. Whenever you found a mistake in the Sefer Torah, you should try to make seven aliyahs from that point to the end. So they squeezed out seven aliyahs in the end of Hazinu. Then everybody came back to Davin Mincha in the afternoon. So the rabbi got up and he said, what I did this morning was Shaloi Kedin. He forgot that applies only to every other parsha except for Hazinu. Hazinu, you're not supposed to stop in the middle because it's a poem. If you stop in the wrong place, you kill the whole poem. So Hazinu is supposed to be... I remember I was once in a shul. There was a bar mitzvah who was a kohen. So the kid was there and the father and the grandfather were all come. They won Shomer Shabbos, but they were all kohen. So they all three wanted aliyah. So they made hoy sofas in the middle of Hazinu. You're not allowed to make a sofas in the middle of Hazinah. That's the din. In the middle of the week, the Ramah says, in the weekday, Sheni v'chamishi, Monday morning, Thursday, Thursday morning is going to be Yontif. But Monday morning, this morning, we lay in Hazinah, Shabbos afternoon, you lay in Hazinah. So the Ramah says the rule doesn't apply. This rule that you have to stop Haziv Loch only applies on Shabbos Hazinah, when you're going to lay in the whole Sedra. You're not going to lay in the whole Sedra, it doesn't apply. Rav Soloveitchik's practice, where he came from in Europe, he came from a Lubavitcher village. So the Lubavitcher village, the Babich, they followed the other opinion, not like the Ramah. The Shorik Nes HaGdol quotes the other Rachanim, but even in Sheni V'Chamishim, when you're not going to lay in the whole Hazinu, you should still be Mapsik Haziv Loch. You should still stop in the proper place. And he thought that maybe it's a real din deraisa, that you have to lay in Kichsovan, you have to lay in a poem according to the way the poem should be read. If you stop in the wrong place, then you kill the poem. Okay, so tomorrow I think we'll go back to Brachas. Good. Yeah. Got to run to that in a minute.
I don't really know. I have to figure that out at all. I don't know what the comment happened.